and multiplies what leaves you.
Oh,
he multiplies what leaves your hand, and he adds what he puts into your hand. But we're praying God multiply it. Multiply it. No. Multiply it. Release it. Multiply it. You see? And the more you sow, he keeps giving you back.
Yes.
So you sow more. I'm telling you how the kingdom really works.
Yeah.
We do not understand the gospel. We really do not understand the gospel. Now let me shift, because I know I don't have a whole lot of time. You know I teach 2 hours on Saturday here, right? I can't do that on Friday. I guess I do want to be invited back. Now listen to me. The Bible says we're not ashamed of the gospel. Right?
Yes.
Paul says, because it's power. Mm-hmm. How can you be ashamed of something that's powerful? In the Greek, it means force, ability, and strength. The Bible says the gospel has an ability built into it. A strength built into it.
Yes.
Yes. A force.
Yes.
A force.
Yes.
Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. There's a force.
Yes.
Why are we being defeated?
My God.
Yes.
When we have a force on the inside of us.
Yes.
And that force is a fortress. And the Bible says this gospel is power unto salvation.
Yes.
Salvation in the Greek means deliverance, healing, and wholeness. Notice, deliverance, healing, wholeness. They're the key main words. It has a few other words too, but deliverance, healing, wholeness. The first in the gospel is a deliverance. Do you know the problem today in the church? When they interpret the gospel, which they call the forgiveness of sins, they do not understand the biblical meaning of forgiveness. We have attached a definition to the word forgiveness that is modern day and secular. We have attached the word forgiveness, or the meaning to forgiveness, as simply something that, well, it means a pardon. That's all it means. But the Bible, it means much more. So when we think forgiveness, we think that we're going to be pardoned. Biblically, the Bible teaches that forgiveness is not only a pardon, but it is a deliverance. See, it's not just pardon for something.
Amen.
It's also deliverance from that something.
Yes.
See, we ask God to forgive us for things that we're never going to come out of.
Yes.
We ask God to forgive us for stuff that we're never going to let go of. And the Bible calls that a counterfeit gospel. Listen to me. Don't let anyone ever teach you that the gospel is a gospel of forgiveness. It is not a gospel of forgiveness. It is a gospel of repentance for forgiveness of sins. Luke 24. Let me, in case you're taking notes, I'm going to go ahead and give you some scripture. Luke 24, 46 through 47 makes it clear. Jesus said, go and preach repentance and the remission of sin. In his name to all nations. So we're supposed to bring the name of Jesus, the gospel, and command repentance for forgiveness. See, write down Proverbs 28, 13. Proverbs 28, 13 tells you how many want God's mercy.
Amen.
It tells you that if you confess your sin and if you forsake it, you'll have it.
Yeah.
Notice it says if you confess and forsake. See, I understand if you struggle, but I guarantee you God is not intimidated with your struggle.
Yeah.
The problem he has is with your commitment. Now listen to me.
Wow.
I don't care whether you got something that you're hiding and you're struggling. If you commit it, it ain't going to survive. The reason why sin survives 20, 30, 40 years in our life is because we're committed to it. And we want God to forgive us for that commitment. See, we want God to pardon our love affair with the sin. I'm telling you, our devotion is to the sin. and we're hoping God will pardon that devotion. No. Repentance is changing partners. Yeah. Now, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 tells us this. It says, repent, be converted. Repent, be converted. Repent means to think differently. Change your mind about that thing. And then it says, be converted. You know what the word converted means in the Greek? Return. Go back. Go back where you left your commitment. Then it says that your sins may be blotted out. In the Greek, wiped out. I'm telling you, over and over again, the Lord is looking for a deliverance from. Now, let me share this with you. This should help you a little bit. One of the biggest mistakes that we make concerning salvation is this. If you want to know what salvation is, now remember now, the new covenant is hidden or concealed in the old covenant. It's there, but it's hidden. And the old is in the new revealed. So that means we can, in the new, it's revealed. It's out in the open, but the new and the old is hidden. So we look at the Old Testament and the gospel's there. The New Testament really is in the old, hidden, waiting to be revealed, waiting to be born. But it's just hiding out in the Old Testament. And I'll give you a great picture or illustration of salvation in the Old Testament. And guess what it is? Who can somebody think of it? One of the best examples of salvation in all the Old Testament record. One of the best. Huh? Well, I'm sure there's more than one. But there, to the Jewish mind, there was a salvation that the nation experienced in their history that was so huge that the figure that led them out, Moses. Remember the Gospels? Remember how they kept talking about Moses, Moses, and the Gospels kept saying, no, Jesus is greater than Moses. See, this Exodus or this deliverance from Egypt is the major event of Israel's salvation in their mindset throughout the entire Old Covenant. I mean, that was the time of the giving of the law. But now watch this. Most people don't realize this. That God did not come to Egypt to bring them out. That's the mistake that people make. This is why you stuck in your sin. Because you keep looking at God coming to rescue you. Like you stuck somewhere, like you can't get out, like it has so much power over you, come help me. Now listen to me. Let me give you the key to the Exodus. And it's in Genesis 15. God told, this man of God had talked about prophecy. Genesis 15, God prophesied to Abraham. Yeah. He said, look, he said, your descendants are going to be stuck in a foreign land for a long time. And he says they're going to stay there until the time of the Amorites is fulfilled. And then he said to Abraham, well, he promised him the land. He promised him the land. I promise you the land, and I promise this land to your descendants, but you're going to stay in Egypt until the iniquity, those living in the land right now, their iniquity is full. Right? Now, God was waiting. Now, listen, they were there 430 years. Why did God wait so long to deliver them? Because the land wasn't ready yet. Somebody else was occupying it under a contract. I know this is hard to understand, but God deals with the nations under a contract. If you can understand how the heavenly court system works, nothing happens on the earth unless heaven decrees it. Don't mistake it. If there's something on the earth that's happening, the Bible declares what you see is temporary. What you can't see is eternal. It is what is etched in the heavens. It is what's set in heaven's court that's eternal. You can't change the law or change the decrees that God demands or releases in the heavenly court. You need to pray and get that change. You need to talk to heaven. You need to touch the high place. Now listen to me.
Amen.
Because if the high place is touched, it'll change what's temporary or what is seen on the earth. Are you hearing me? You fight what you see, and your battle is what you cannot see. Listen to me. Now watch what I'm saying. Listen to me. Egypt, Israel was in Egypt, crying out, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac and Jacob, where are you? You saw the Ten Commandments. You saw Charles Heston crying out in bondage. You know what I mean? All that good stuff. Well, God wasn't moving because he could not move yet because the land was contracted. We know it had to be because in Genesis 15, he said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Wait a minute now. When God put Israel under contract, he threatened them that if you mess up, if you sin, I'll kick you out the land. He put them under covenant or contract. Moses brokered the deal. So we know somehow the Amorites had to be under contract because God would not move until they kept breaking it, until they reached the point where God could just take back the land. Interesting, isn't it?
Amen.
He says it's not yet full. So here's what happened. When the contract was up because they kept right on doing their thing. Do you know one day your thing will be up? Hello. See, the thing that you, I'm telling you, listen to me.
Amen.
I know you, listen, God promised a blessing and you're living in that blessing, but you sin in that blessing. You're abusing that blessing. You're abusing the gospel. Wow. I mean, one day that thing will be up.
Yes.
Listen. But while it's under contract, while God put his promise out there, and usually most promises are conditional.
That's right.
All right? Once the Amorites were finished, God said, it is time to bring them into what I promised Abraham. The whole reason why he went down to Egypt was to bring them in. That's the only reason why they came out. Do you see what salvation is? To God, salvation is about bringing you into everything he's made available for you in Christ Jesus. And we look at the gospel as from the Egyptian point of view, from the earth point of view. Deliver us. Save us. No, I didn't come to bring you out. I came to bring you in. But I can't bring in unless I bring you out. I can't bring it in unless I bring it. Do you see what I'm telling you?
Amen.
The only reason why you're coming out of that thing, because now you're ready to come into what he's promised.
Yes.
He'll leave you right in your problem. He'll leave you right in your mess. And you'll squander. And you'll lose. And you'll suffer. And you'll cry for 30 years till you're ready to come in.
Mama.
And when you're ready to come in, baby, you're coming out. Yes. Aren't you ready? See, we look at salvation as, get me out of this mess. The Lord looks at salvation as, I provided something for you.
Yes.
But you don't want to come out of your mess.
That's right.
I'm telling you what salvation is.
God has
a plan.
Yes.
He ain't saving you for you.
Mm.
He's saving you for himself.
Yes.
The biggest problem today with the gospel being preached, and the biggest problem today in most churches, is they made the gospel man-centered and man-motivated. God ain't saving you for you. He's saving you for himself. God has a plan and a purpose, and he wants to bring you into it. All you want is to come out for what reason? So you keep doing the same thing? See, we don't really want to come out of the sin. We want to come out of the consequence of pain it causes. See, we don't like all the stuff it does to us, but we like the stuff we do. We don't like all the stuff it does to us, but we like the stuff we do. We don't want to come out of the stuff we do. We just want to come out of all the stuff it does to us. See, we don't want to really come out. See, because we don't want to go in. I'm telling you, you got to see God. This is how God, listen. The gospel has got to be understood from where God is sitting. All the universe revolves around the throne of God. And here we are on the earth. Please forgive me, Pastor. Please forgive me, Apostle. Please forgive me, too. But we run after bishops and prophets and church leaders like they are the center of what God is doing. And they are the very center of the falling away. They're the reason why the church is falling away.
Hallelujah.
Come on, my people.
Hallelujah.
You know how it is. You don't go into a house and see a bunch of messed up children who can't do nothing right and go, these bad children. What do you do? These parents. the church in such a mess? Because nobody in charge. It is us, the leaders. Now, I know there's some good leaders. I hope I'm one of them. I hope I'm one of them. There's some good churches, some good leaders, but you know you're not going to have a handful here and there and hold it all together. The reason why the church is in such a mess today, it ain't just because the people. It's because there's no one ruling the house. I ain't talking about the flesh, because there's a lot of flesh. There's a lot of pharaohs in the pulpit that make slaves out of God's people. I'm not talking about the rule of man. I'm talking about the rule of God. I'm talking about the fear of God that produces holiness. Not the fear of man that produces slaves. We fear men and we become slaves instead of fearing God and becoming holy. Not because we become holy because we're holy, but because God is able to get into a vessel that yields and surrenders to Him.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that He's preparing a bride.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us the bride makes herself ready. Who's getting ready? Nobody.
That's it.
Why? Because of who's in charge. Now listen to me. I know this pastor's a man of God. I know he's a real man of God. So I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about. We all struggle. And we're not perfect as leaders. So I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the fact that my commitment is coming in. I'm going in. I find out the more I'm committed to going into that promised land, that life that really pleases God, the harder it gets. I did not know how difficult. I didn't even know how hard I am to God. I mean, the closer I get to God, the further away I get. How is that possible? How is that I spend more time in prayer, more time in the Word, more time coming into the presence of God, and I find myself further away from Him because of the fact that I don't want to let go of some of the things that I am. But I'm not willing to let go of Him, though. So there is a fight going on. It's either going to be Him or me, and I'm determined not to win this. But I can't help it, I resist. Because there's a rebellion in the flesh. There's a disobedience. Oh, yeah, you will sin. Oh, yes, you will sin. But there is a life in you that will not. Oh. Turn your Bible to 1 John 3. Turn to 1 John 3. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to say this to you. See, I'm just jumping around, and I apologize for that, because I know I have limited time. So I'm just going to have fun tonight. I'm trying to get you to see this. That God is bringing salvation. But His interpretation or definition of what He means by salvation ain't yours. You want Him to handle your petty stuff. He wants to bring you into His stuff. You hear me? You asking Him for stuff that He's not bringing you into. Oh, come on, man.
Amen.
Most of our prayers is stuff. Stuff that satisfy the flesh. He says there's two gods, Him and Mammon. And Mammon means possessions.
Yes.
And He said to you that life is more than your body.
Yes.
More than what you wear, on, what you eat. It's more than that.
That's right.
Is it?
Amen.
John chapter 6 tells us that Jesus fed 5,000. And after He fed them with the fish and the loaves, they were so fired up about Jesus that they were going to make Him their king because He fed them the fish and the loaves. You want a 3,000 member church? Give them fish and loaves and they'll make you a god. And the reason why Jesus did not want them to make Him king, because He was already a king. He didn't need them to crown Him. He'd be crowned.
That's it.
But we're looking for a crown. So I'll give you fish and loaves if you'll crown me. Listen to what happened. So when they tried to make Him king by force, He perceived it before they tried. So you know what He did? He left them. I'm telling you, He's left many churches in America already.
Yes.
Listen to me.
Yes, He has.
I'm not against prosperity. I believe God can bless His people, and I believe He will. But he ain't gonna bless you, because he'll turn you into twice a child of hell than you were before. Mm. Because if you're making an idol out of something you want, why would he ever give it to you? Because he's dooming you to hell. The Bible says if he gives you the whole world, you'll lose your soul. If you want something so bad, and you're seeking God for that thing, and that's what you want, he give it to you, you're finished. I'm telling you. The only chance he's got to reach your soul for salvation is to keep holding back the thing that you want till you're changed, until you're converted.
I'm telling you, there's some people that just want a husband.
And once they get a husband, you never see them in church again. I remember a testimony one time that was told by a pastor about a woman that was in a marriage where she was constantly abused by her husband. And she had this constant testimony and prayer about her husband getting saved, so God just killed her husband. He dropped dead. And she inherited all that guy's money. And that was the last time he saw her in church. Are you sure you know why you're here? Because Jesus can give you fish and loaves. And not that he will. Look at the gospel. He looked at the multitude coming to him. He did not discriminate between whether one was committed or not. He fed them all. You can come into a church and ask God to meet your need, and he will, because that's the God we serve. Amen. We think somehow when he gives us a blessing, it validates our salvation and commitment. It does not. It validates his goodness.
Yeah.
Him prospering you. Him getting you out of that same thing 10 times in a row.
That's
he's
right.
doing it not because it proves your salvation. It proves who he be.
Yes.
I don't know why we stand up and testify of the goodness of the Lord like somehow it's something we did to deserve it. Like Peter and John. Peter and John laid hands on the lame man, or commanded the lame man to walk. He started leaping in the temple, and the people came to Peter and John and pleaded, "Don't look at us. Why are you looking at us?" Like some power or some virtue in us caused this man to walk.
That's right. That's right.
And could you not stand up here and testify all the time about the goodness of the Lord? But if you can really discern what people are saying, they're thinking that somehow God doing something with them proves their commitment. It proves his commitment, not yours. Why are we so deceived by that?
Hallelujah.
He said, they'll prophesy. Lord, haven't we prophesied? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Greek word, dunamis. Haven't we cast out devils? He used these individuals.
That's right.
And then said at the end, I never really knew you. Because you were not really in it for me. You were in it for yourself. Like Hallelujah. I said, Hallelujah. I go to God all the time. And I got all kinds of other motives. And thanks be to God for his wonderful great mercy that he don't give them to me. That he just makes me suffer. Gets me mad. Makes me go, what are you doing, God? Saving your soul. I'm not kidding. I'm not playing. I'm telling you the absolute truth.
My God.
The mercy of God is someone that will not allow you to have what you want. So he can get down on the inside of you and deal with who you really are. Because if you die in that condition, you're not going to be saved. I know how
That's
we
right.
believe the gospel
That's
works.
Right.
We think the gospel is just believe on the Lord Jesus. Of course it is. But do you understand the definition of believe in the Bible? Most of our understanding is mental agreement. Oh, come on. I believe in Jesus. And I look at your life. I said, no, you don't. Because the Bible makes it very clear that real faith produces a corresponding action.
That's
right. You know a tree by its fruit. And a thorn bush or a bramble bush can cry out all day, I'm an apple tree. It doesn't make it an apple tree. And so many of us claim the gospel, and there's never any fruit or change. You a bramble bush. You're not an apple tree. You know a tree by its fruit. I'm telling you, all you got to do is look at yourselves, and you know who you are. Why do we holding an unforgiveness. You can't do that. You gotta let that sucker go.
Yes.
You really do. Yes. But why won't you? Maybe because you're a bramble bush. And this is serious business. Because we're never told the truth. Did you know the Bible talks about handling the Word of God deceitfully? Can I tell you how to do that? You can teach the truth and still handle it deceitfully. I pray the church wake up, because it's going to hell. And I'm going to show you in the Bible that it's fulfilling prophecy. Now listen to me. The Bible makes it clear the way you handle the word of truth is by bearing it to every man's conscience. That means you speak where people are living. See, I can talk about all kinds of stuff as long as I don't touch that area of your life.
That's right.
And a lot of folk will talk principles in the Bible, and they're right. I can teach Bible truth. I can tell you what God is like. I can tell you how to prosper. I can teach you about faith. And that is right. But I will never tell you about you. I will never say anything that makes you uncomfortable. I'll never get where you're living. I'm telling you, I am deceiving you. Because I'm telling you that the way you're living is okay.
That's right.
This is why you got to talk this way. This is why you got to tell people exactly where they're living. This is why when we let the Holy Ghost talk, he talking in me. He just talks. I don't know any of you, but he talking to you. He's talking right where you're living, because I know he is, because I can hear it. I can see it. I don't know who it is. I just know he's talking. That means he loves you. See, you're the only ones here tonight. He loves you.
Amen.
Because you're getting a chance to hear this.
Amen.
Amen.
How many are hearing some things for the first time?
Yes. Amen.
That's going to save you.
Amen.
Now, I know that the gospel is the only way to salvation. Amen. But if you read what Paul said to Timothy, he said, take heed to your doctrine. And he said, to the saving of yourself and others with others who hear you. He is talking about the fact that we know Jesus is the only way to get saved. But your doctrine and the things you adopt in practice and belief can actually take you away from the truth. And it's happening today.
Amen.
There is no gospel of forgiveness. Mm. It does not exist. There's only a gospel, which is what Christ did.
Yes.
And the Bible commands us to preach repentance for the remission of sin. That means that if you're not where you should be, the gospel has provided you a way out.
Amen.
But you can't come out unless you actually come out. I don't know why we think Moses went down to Egypt and said, I'm here. God said he's going to save you and forgive you. But you can stay right where you are.
Oh my God.
He came to Egypt to take them out, to bring them in. Don't you see? Read your Bible. It is all about the wonderful things God wants to bring you into. But we're too busy fighting with the things that we're actually in now. Deciding whether we want to stay or leave.
Wow.
Shit, I know this is wrong, but maybe God will change it.
Wow.
He came to deliver you out. You see, I can remember how Israel was coming out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness headed toward the promised land. And how many ever heard the term mixed multitude? If you ever study Exodus carefully, I think Numbers as well, you will find that it wasn't just the Jews or the Israelites that actually left. There were other nations that went with them. It was an entire Exodus. When Israel left, all the slaves said, oh, we're leaving too. But they were called the mixed multitude. They were not the covenant people. But God let them come along. God never told Moses to separate the mixed multitude from the Israelites. Jesus said in Matthew 13, in the parable of the kingdom, he said, let the wheat and let the tares go ahead and just grow together.
That's it.
And at the end of the age, or at harvest time, at the end of the
that's
world,
right. Yes,
that's
yes,
when I'll
yes,
separate.
Yes,
I'm
yes,
telling you right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
In every church, you have a mixed multitude, and you have real covenant men and women of God.
Hallelujah.
And the sad part of that is we're more influenced by the mixed multitude
Mama.
Who cry, let's go back to Egypt, where the leeks of the watermelons were, where the onions and scallops were. I mean, come on now. What's this? Where's this Moses? Or God ain't blessing me this week. I'm telling you, every time we get what we want, we threaten to go back to Egypt. I know, yep, I'm going to shack up then. That's exactly how that covenant multitude was. They came out of Egypt because they came out of the promise of a new land. But when it got tough in the wilderness, we're going back to what we came out of. And you think you're an apple tree. You're a bramble bush. Because every other week you're threatening God to go back and shack up again, or go back and smoke that joint, or go back and steal that money. You're always threatening, I need, God knows I need it, he knows what I need. I'm telling you. See, you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I go to God in prayer, and I gotta get past me to get there. Because there's all kinds of me in the way. But I'm so committed to him that I don't want me. What about you? Do you want me more than him? Because if you want you more than him, you're going to have you. You mixed multitude. You. Are you hearing me? No joke. No joke. Let me do this, because I know that I'm taking up too much time. But let me just get serious and say this. Right. We just had fun tonight, right?
Yes.
All right. On a serious note, the closer I get to God, the more unsaved I feel and think about myself. I am horrible. Oh, my God, help me. I am horrible. And if you ain't there yet, you ain't even starting. Most of us are still working hard to prove to ourselves how good we really are. We're good people. No, you ain't. Now, I know you are according to man's standard, because there's a lot of good people out there. There's a lot of good, giving, loving people. But if you ever get close to God and he lets you see you. Do you know what Jesus said to Nathaniel? Watch this. Listen to me. He looked at Nathaniel when Nathaniel was coming. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, comma, in whom there's no guile. Hold on a minute. To say an Israelite indeed means a true covenant man or a true believer. But then there's a comma in the sentence. And you know what a comma does, right? It marks a separation in the sentence. That means he was not only a true believer, he was also without guile. Which leads us to understand that you could come into being a true believer yet full of guile. And the reason why we receive the Holy Ghost is to help us with all that guile. Okay? But we're too busy working for our guile. Because we haven't learned that the guile is bad. There's so much selfish ambition, so much vainglory, so much pride, so much strife. You know what strife is? Competition. It's you doing it because somebody else has it. There is so, and we're not even aware of the fact that we're working so hard, not because it's something we really want. It's because we hate the fact that our brother has it and he looks better than we do. See, we're competing. It's amazing how the human heart is. Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful. Wicked, who can possibly know it?
Mama.
Who can know it? In the Greek or the Hebrew, it means fraudulent. It means the heart lies to you. It is a pretender. It will, you look in the mirror and your heart will say, aren't you beautiful? Aren't you wonderful? You know it's their fault. You know they did it. You know, don't forget. I mean, that heart is telling you all how stroking you, and you the bramble bush. You're the rebel, I'm telling you. Don't trust yourself. The reason why the presence of God is so important is because when you come into the presence of God, you're naked. You can't hide behind any fig leaves. All you can do is see Him. And when you see Him, you see you. And I guarantee you, you won't like what you see. Or at that moment, you discover that you love what you see more than what you've seen. And you change your mind about God and you make yourself God. Listen to me. I'm telling you, there's stuff that we want and we're believing God for it. I don't care what God promised you. I don't care. I've heard stupid stuff. I can't die because this promise hadn't come to pass yet. Or Christ can't return because He hadn't keep this promise yet. What are you talking about? Hebrews 11 tells you that many who died had not yet received what was promised.
Amen.
Did you know what God really promises? You ready? Is that really it? Your healing? Is that really it? I tell you what He promises. Christ. He gives you Christ. And I guarantee you, God has made provision for everything you have need Amen. Of to Amen. Live a godly life Amen. And to walk and provide for this body Amen. In this life. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen. The Bible says God has already said yes to every promise.
Yes,
he said yes and amen
yes.
in Christ.
Hallelujah.
It's in Him. It's
yes.
in the vine.
Yes.
The branch just has to abide in the vine.
Yes.
But we don't. We want God to bear fruit while we're disconnected to the vine.
Yes.
We want God to keep His word while we don't keep ours. See, you promise God. I'm telling you, every promise He made is conditional. And the condition is in Him. I'm telling you, there's not one person that's sick on this planet. The healing's not already been provided for in Christ. But you rejected the gospel. You hate God, so the healing can't come to you. You're a believer in Christ, but you rejected the word of God. You don't believe what He says, so the healing can't come to you. Because it's already, I'm telling you right now, God
Amen.
Don't heal no more. He don't heal no more. He has already healed.
Amen.
You've got, that's why the Bible says, by His stripes, you were healed.
Amen.
By His stripes, you were healed.
Yeah, yeah.
The scripture puts it in a past tense. Don't you get it?
Yeah.
He's done it. All you got to do is receive it. But you can't receive it unless you're in Christ. Unless the branch stays connected to the vine. The vine just supplies the life-giving sap and nourishes the branch, and the branch bears its fruit.
Amen.
It's so simple. It's all about yielding. It's all about, Lord, I'm just giving it to You. Lord, I'm not putting this before You. Oh, God, it's killing me. But I want the vine. I want it. See, can you honestly say that? Come on now. I struggled for years. I used to say, Lord, I mean it. Then He would challenge me. Lord, I don't mean it. Then I would grow and go, now I know I really mean it, God. Then He'd show me, okay, I haven't gotten there yet. And it's been going like that for 35 years of ministry and 40 some years of being saved. Now I know why Paul said near the end of his ministry, and he was a mighty man of God. I haven't apprehended yet.
Yeah. While I've been apprehended.
Still trying to apprehend
yeah,
that,
right.
For which I'm apprehended in Christ
that's
Jesus.
It. That's
still
it.
Pressing with the mark of the high calling
yeah.
which is in Christ
yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Still trying to win it.
Yeah.
Still counting those things as loss.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you still counting the losses?
My.
Because you can't win without counting the losses.
Yes, yes.
You're not counting the losses. You're bemoaning the losses, grieving the losses, mad at God for the losses, backsliding, quitting, walking away, ain't serving you no more because of the losses. When there's no way to win Him but by those losses. I don't know why you go through those losses. I don't know why you go through those particular losses. Only God knows your heavenly Father who chases those He loves.
Yeah.
Why does He correct you the way He knows you? made you, he see you. See, I could judge, I could guess, I could tell you why based on me, but it doesn't work, does it? Stop looking at your neighbor saying, why'd you heal him? Stop, why are you blessing him? Stop looking at your neighbor asking why they don't go through what you go through. Because you ain't him and he ain't you. And your father, now come on now, any parent knows if you have different children, you're not going to handle them all the same. You could spank one and they'll sit there right there going. But you stick them in that corner to be still like, oh my gosh! Another child, you can take away their TV set, their phone, their whatever, and they're like, I don't care. Then you say, no dinner. See, God, no, you ought to know what your child, you know what the pressure points are. Now listen to me, listen to me. Here's what Paul, I'm going to wrap this up now. Here's what Paul prophesied. You're 2 hours yet. This is long, isn't it?
Take your time.
It is long, I know.
Good.
It really is, but, you know. Okay. When the Bible teaches about the end times, many neglect the things that Paul taught about the end times. The Bible teaches he was an apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that when the church was born, it was all Jewish. And when Paul began his ministry, it was probably 95, 96% Jewish. By the time Paul was done with his ministry, there were more Gentiles than Jews. Mm-hmm. And today, the church is probably 96, 97% Gentile.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. If the church is... Now, Gentile simply means a non-Jew. Now, we know that we're not really Gentiles because we're covenant believers. Mm-hmm. So the Bible teaches that we're a spiritual Israel now. Mm-hmm. But what I simply mean is we're not natural Jews in the body. Okay? Think about it. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. And God gave him a message for the end time. He spoke of things that were to come in the future. And the timing of those things was right about the time he returns, second time. Mm-hmm. And he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And today, the majority of the church is Gentile. Wow. That's amazing. They spoke of a day where there would be a great falling away of the church.
That's it. That's
now listen to me. Write it down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. It's the same event. Different account. Same event. That he spoke of a falling away just before the return of Christ and our gathering together unto him. Now, you know what that means, right? He's coming to gather us to him. It means the bridegroom is coming back for the bride. Mm. But he's not only coming back in a tuxedo. He gonna wear some armor with the tuxedo. Because he's coming back as a man of war and a bridegroom. He gonna wear a breastplate and a bow tie. He gonna wear a tuxedo and armor at the same time. Because to one, he a bridegroom. To the other, he a warrior. He coming back to finish salvation for
that's
one
right.
And comes
that's
to
right.
Judge the other.
That's right. That's right.
This is not a game.
That's right.
And so the Bible says that when that time comes, when he finally comes back as a bridegroom, the Bible says it'll be so bad for the church that the church will be dominated by apostasy. It says this thing will not happen, verse 3, until a falling away occurs.
That's
in the
right.
Greek, it means apostasy, or it actually means to depart or defect from truth. All right, now listen, I told you about revival. You trying to feel something, you're never going to feel something. And if you do, you may be in trouble. Because if you get good feelings and you'll sin, it means you may already been abandoned. Because I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost
right.
was on King
That's
Saul.
Right. That's right.
But when he was abandoned, another spirit took over.
That's right.
Amen. You out there getting right. good Amen. Feelings in your condition, it means another spirit has taken over.
My.
I'm telling you, real revival is you making that real decision. You yes. know you're wrong.
Yes.
You know yes. he's talking to you. Mm. You know you got to come out because he wants yes. to bring in.
Yes.
But you
yes.
just want to find someone to wow. confirm it or someone to tell you you're okay.
Mm.
Devil is a liar.
Yeah.
And today, you've got plenty of mega churches, plenty of mega pastors, plenty of books out there telling you can have your best life now. And they're not, and it doesn't mean that they're not speaking some principles that are true. But they ain't bearing a man's conscience.
Amen.
They're not talking to people where they're living.
Yeah.
When you can draw into your church a mixed multitude that's comfortable in your church, you ain't preaching the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to me. You can teach. Listen. You can teach the Bible, and you can teach biblical principles of love and faith, and that is correct, and we need to. But the wicked can thrive under that too. If they're never told where
that's
they're
right.
living.
That's right.
And the Bible says don't handle the word of God that way. Handle where it bears a man's conscience. I'm telling you, most preachers feel it's meddling. I'm not going to meddle. I'm not going to tell them not to shack up. Listen to me. Now listen, listen. Let me say this. I don't care that you're backslidden. I don't care. God don't care either. Isn't that strange? You want to know why? Because being backslidden ain't your problem. You know what the Bible actually teaches in the book of Hosea? He was the prophet sent to Israel just before Israel went into captivity and lost themselves as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible declares that this prophet typified God, who was married to the backslider.
Mm-hmm.
And God still loved him. He's married to you. You the backslider. But what was the complaint that God made to the prophet? It wasn't their backsliding. It was the fact they would not let God heal them from that backsliding. I'm telling you, you backsliding, let him heal you. He ain't rejecting you because you're backsliding. He know that already. He knew that before Christ died for you.
Amen.
Your backsliding problem ain't your problem. The problem is you don't want to be healed of it.
That's right.
You don't want to come out. See, God can't make you do what you don't want to do.
Right.
He can fix it for you,
yes.
but you don't want it fixed.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
The repentance is telling you, let him fix it. The gospel says, I fixed it. Repentance says, you decide to let him in to fix it. You get it? We preach a gospel to the multitudes, telling them, God's fixed it. God's fixed it. Yes, he has. But will you let him come in and fix it? No. They just want God to forgive them while they continue in it.
Right.
And it's a counterfeit.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
It's the falling away.
Hallelujah.
All right?
Amen.
All right? The Bible says that they will fall away. Why? It says, look at this. Verse 10, 11, it's Thessalonians 2. It says, they would not receive the love of the truth. Do you really love the truth? Think about what I'm telling you. Do you love the truth? To love the truth means you may have to go without something until God provides it his way. Always looking for a shortcut. Always looking for an end around. A way we can make it happen for ourselves because we want what we want because we don't love the truth as much as we say. To love the truth means I'm going to suffer because I want the truth.
That's right.
The Bible teaches this generation just before his return that will fall away
That's
will
right.
not really
That's
love
right.
the truth.
That's right. That's right.
And the Bible says because of that, listen, it literally says because of that, God will send them a strong delusion. That they'll go ahead and believe the lie.
It's the truth.
It says they would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
See, we don't care about the truth, but we claim salvation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what Bible you're reading. I mean, because you can't take bits and pieces and form a doctrine. You've got to take the whole of Scripture and let the whole of Scripture balance the truth. Balance what the Word says. You'll never have the truth picking this Scripture, picking that Scripture, picking this one, because it fits your situation and it fits how you feel. You've got to take the good ones, the ones you highlight in your Bible, then you search out all the bad ones to balance it to understanding. Or you'll create an error. Second Timothy 3 tells us that these will be lovers of God, but they'll love pleasure more. It says they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Listen to me. In the Greek, it means they'll have an appearance of the gospel. Or they'll appear to be a Christian, but there'll be no real power. I thought the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. And salvation is coming out of something and into something else. Why is this gospel not bringing you into anything? It can't be the right gospel. It's the power unto salvation. Moses came down there. God's power! Send the plagues! Power! Power! Throw the staff down, turn the snake, eat their snakes, power! And they came out, and they were moving toward coming in. That's a whole other story why they failed to go in. We won't have time for it. Do you hear? I'm telling you, God is bringing you out to bring you in.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
But what
Amen.
We really want is Amen. Simply God to meet us where we are and keep... God, I'm so glad you showed up in Egypt because I was trying to start a business here and I need you to deal with Pharaoh for me. No, I'm going to bring you out of this and bring into a promised land.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
It says they deny the power. That Greek word is dunamis. They deny dunamis. They have an appearance of being a believer but have rejected or refused the power. It's the Greek word dunamis. That's the same Greek word used in Acts 1:8 that says, power shall come on you. Dunamis. After you receive
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost to be witnesses. The word witness in the Greek is the Greek word that means martyr. Martyr? Many teach that the Holy Ghost is power to serve. We saw that in Matthew 7. He said, you prophesied and you cast out devils and did many wonderful works. Well, that word works in the Greek in Matthew 7 is dunamis. It was showing you in Matthew chapter 7 that this power is given to serve. But in Acts 1:8, the power was given to stand. There's no doubt about it that the power is given to serve and to stand. Do you see? You're given ability to stand under pressure. God is looking for you to stand, not just serve.
Amen.
And there are a lot of folk out there serving, not standing.
Amen.
And they create a gospel based on gifts. I can't tell you how many people run after gifts. How many ever watched that show American Idol or The Voice? American Idol. They're called idols. Because they have a gift, a voice. And the world runs after them in worship. It's the same thing that happens in the church. God anoints a man to preach or to prophesy or to work the works of God or to serve. And we see God moving through a gift. And we run after that man as if that man has something he really doesn't have.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Power has to stand. It can't do a miracle here and shack up over there.
Thank you.
Amen.
Now, it can.
Amen.
It can.
Amen.
But it's not supposed
Amen.
To. Amen. It's supposed to serve Amen. And stand. Now, let me not make you afraid. Because I'm done. I don't want to scare you. Put this down. But I am going to end with this. John the Baptist said this. There's one coming after me.
Hmm.
He will baptize with water. He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Fire.
Now, some have interpreted that many ways, won't get into it. But then he said this, his fan is in his hand, and he will purge his threshing floor. Mm. What is that? Well, a threshing floor was used during harvest time. So that means that he will have his fan in his hand at harvest time. Well, harvest time is not his first coming, it's his second coming. He came to baptize us in the Holy Ghost. But then at the end, the Bible says his fan will be in his hand and he will purge the floor, or he will separate the wheat from the chaff. Let me tell you what it looks like. Here's what it was. Can you hear me? At harvest time, when all the wheat was gathered together in a pile, it sat there and was allowed to dry. So you had the wheat berry and on the outside the husk that got dry, right? And so you got this whole pile of harvest, the whole pile of wheat. The Bible says that's what it's going to be like. Just before his return, he's going to gather in the spirit, gather everyone into a pile. His house, all his children. Because the Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. And the Bible says he's going to use his fan. The fan is a winnowing fork. And here's what they would do. After it dried, and I guarantee you now, the church is getting real dry. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. We're praying for revival. Mm-hmm. Now listen to me. It is the will of God that the church become like a desert and dry.
Mama.
Because it's judgment time at the house of God. And the church is becoming plenty dry. And what it does, it causes the true wheat berry to come forward. And all the pretenders are the ones who begin to reveal that they've been pretending.
Wow.
Now listen, here's what's going to happen. Here's what the farmer did. He stuck, it's a fork, it's a window, like a pitchfork. But it's more of a fan, it's little thicker. And he would put his fan in the pile and throw it straight up in the air so it could fall right back on the pile. He did this when the wind was blowing so that when he threw it up, it would break the dry parts away from the wheat berry. So before it came down to the ground, the wind that was blowing would move the dry debris away from the harvest. And he would do this again and again and again. John is saying this. He's saying, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. But don't forget, his fan is in his hand. And there's coming a day of harvest. What have you done with what you have received?
Mama.
There's coming a time of harvest. And if you, listen, if you are pretending, God will begin to winnow his church. Now the Bible says you and I to be mature, perfect man, growing up in the full measure of a stature, no longer children tossed to and fro by every
wind of doctrine.
The reason why all these teachings and gospels that are being passed from church to church all over America and the globe is because the wind is blowing to winnow the harvest. And what happens is the wind is blowing, and cause you dry and you brittle and you haven't spent no time with God, that wind of doctrine is going to catch you up and move you away from those who are to receive salvation.
Wow.
And that's how the falling away is going to happen. By wind of doctrine. It is sad that we're running after all the new fads and stuff being taught, because it promises stuff that we want. Do you really want that stuff? or do you want him?
Yes.
God, I want it, but I don't want it unless you get it.
That's right.
Yeah. I want it if you get it. God, I'm going to wait. If I have to die and not receive what is promised, yes, I'll receive it on the other side.
Because
I'm not going to get thrown up in the air and captured by a wind of doctrine.
Amen.
I'm going to be heavy. Listen, the wheat berry has substance in itself. And it falls to the ground. If you ain't got no real walk in you, real faith in you, a real commitment in you, you go float away.
That's it. That's it.
You gonna see, you got a real commitment when you're thrown up in the air, going through some stuff, you gonna come right back down the pile because you got a devotion to God. There's a weight and substance to you. But if you ain't got nothing, no one can see that. Shouting up in here.
Yeah.
Bunch of hot air. You're going to be blown away by a wind of doctrine.
Wow.
Come on, Pastor.
Ooh, oh, my.
Put your hands together. Put your hands together for Pastor Curtis Shoes. Hallelujah. 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 What a great man of God. You could do a little better than that. Hallelujah. I've sat in my office for 2-3 hours with him getting fed like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I just want you to know tonight that you didn't come here by accident. Everyone walked through that door came by purpose. You came by purpose of God. God shared something with me about this revival. And we're going to follow the Spirit of God tonight. God said that his people, and I had no clue of what Pastor Curtis was going to bring tonight, but it goes with what God has spoken to me to do. And so now I know it's God. God said that we need reviving, and revive means to give life back. And I said, well, how do we give life back? Well, we know that sometime in life, when you're in a marriage and you've been married for a long time, you need to renew your vows. Amen? And renewing your vows would take you back to the beginning of that marriage because all those great memories would come back to you. We as a society, we are familiar with renewing things. We have to renew our driver's license after a certain period of time. And renew simply is defined as making new. So tonight we're going to make our relationship with God new again. All over again. We're going to start over. As if though we just got saved. We're just coming to the Lord. But only this time God said he's going to bring a fresh anointing on everyone here tonight. That is going to renew their vows to him. That you're going to tell God that, God, I fell short during my time and my commitment to you. That I have not done all the things that I could have done, God. I've fallen short. I've hid things, God. I got darkness in my life, God, that I want out of my life because I want all of you. And God, I want a fresh start. I want to recommit myself to you, God. Because I realize that there is none like you. You're all that I have, God. And so at this time, I'm asking, including myself, that we're going to renew our vows with God. And I just want you at this time to just repeat after me as we prepare to renew our vows. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I don't have a script, anything written down. But I'm going to let the Spirit lead me. Because God said that he will do this by his Spirit. Not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So I want everyone in here tonight, this is your Good Friday. This is what's going to make this a good Friday for the rest of your Fridays, for the rest of your life. I want you to just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you because I have failed. I repent, Lord, for my failures. I repent for my shortcomings. And God, I ask you to forgive me. I come tonight to accept you, God, for forgiving me and giving me a new start. I vow to you tonight, God, that I will do better, that I will be more loving, I will be more sharing, and I will be more caring. And I promise you, God, that I will live up to your word. And I'll give you my best. And I won't hold anything back. I thank you, God, for giving me your word. I'm going to stand on your word. Because I know, God, your word states that you would never leave me. And you will never forsake me. I know tonight, God, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So God, I pledge to you tonight that I will walk in your word, that I will yield to your leadership, that I will no longer lean to my own understanding. But God, I will acknowledge you in all of my ways, in all of my affairs, so that you can direct my path. So God, I want to say thank you for accepting my vows. And I will keep my vows in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This is the new you. This is the new you. This is the new you. You just made your, you just renew your vow to God. You just renew your vow to God. And with that renewal come a fresh anointing. I say there's a fresh anointing. God said that he's going to anoint you to keep your vow. Receive it, receive it, receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive your fresh anointing. Receive it on this Good Friday. Receive it on Victory Week. You have the victory tonight. You have the victory tonight. You are the head and not the tail. You are the lender, not the borrower. You are above and not the thief. You are more than a conqueror this morning. You're more than a conqueror. And all things are going to work together for your good. Because what the enemy has meant for your harm, God is going to turn it around for your good. Let it go. Let it go tonight. Whatever that is holding you back, release it in the name of Jesus. Receive your anointing. Receive your anointing. Every yoke of bondage be broken in your life. Every yoke of bondage will be broken in your life. Receive from God. He is pouring out right now. Receive from God. Hallelujah. This is the newness of your life. Go forth. Thanks to God. Hallelujah. And celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 As you stand into your feet, just before I do the benediction, Sister Michelle is going to close us out and send us home on this Good Friday night. Sister Michelle. Just 1 second here. 1 second before you sing. Apostle Lynn, can you step up here for a second? I want you to leave us with a word tonight. I want you to say something. I know you, okay? I know what you possess. And I want you, I don't want to leave here because you have a word for us. Just say something to us tonight to go along to what God has done.
Well, I'll tell you, when we were even coming up here and I was praying for my husband when we got outside the door, he said it won't be by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So confirm that. But he said the word tonight was victory. It was victory. Yes. He also said, when I was just sitting there tonight, as you were praying, he said, for you to continue to endure, even when you pray with people, you were just standing here and you were saying things. He said, continue to endure, because things will break off of people as you continue to speak over them. Just continue to speak and command things to come out. Command things to loop in the name of Jesus. Because that power is there on the inside of you. Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the anointing, the double block, that destroys every yoke of bondage right now. From this day forward, discerning of spirits. God, I thank you for the gift of discerning of spirits, one of the gifts of your spirit, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, that as he opens his mouth, you said that he commands things to go and commands things to break, that they will move in the name of Jesus. I give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. I receive it in the name of Jesus. It's no time to play church. We got to be in church now. Playing church is over. I say it's over. Playing church is a wrap. We're not just going through the motions anymore. This is not just going through the motions. We're not following traditions no more. We're following God right now. Playing church is over. If you get serious with God, he gets serious with you. If you're faithful unto God, he will be faithful unto you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I receive that, Pastor Lynn. I receive that. I receive that in the name of Jesus. We're living in perilous times now. We're living in perilous times now. We're living in a time that man behavior can't get worse, but it will get worse. Hallelujah. Sister Michelle. Let the anointing flow in your lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Calvary, oh Lamb of God.
How precious is the blood. How precious is the blood. The Lord spoke to me and said, somebody in this congregation, in this sect, is a beneficiary of what has transpired here tonight. Somebody has received God's word into their life. And there will be a transformation. There will be a change. Somebody. God would not have us come together if he didn't want to directly speak to somebody. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you so much. Victory. There's victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. He's our Savior. Let's give it up for Pastor Curtis one more time, who drove nearly 2 hours to come here and give us a word. 2 hours to take time out of his schedule. A man that is filled with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God's word. A man that I glean for. The Lord brought him into my life so that I could glean from Pastor Curtis. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the conscience of his friend. Hallelujah. Pastor Curtis, we need you to come up and we want you to do the benediction. We want to hear your voice again as you give us the benediction.
The Bible says that the birds of the air will come to take away the seed sown in the soil of the heart.
Yes, yes.
If there's no understanding.
Yes.
So Father, we pray in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Understanding that everything they heard tonight.
Yes.
Understanding.
Yes.
The Father, we declare your blessing.
Yes.
Father, you said, God, that we're to have ears to hear. Father, bless the hearing of your people tonight.
Yes.
Bless the hearing of your people tonight, God, and bless their hearts.
Yes.
Father, we decree and declare this over your people tonight. Oh, God, we will go forward. Take the word and it will change our lives. Father, you said if the word is just sown, God, it will bear fruit. We declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everybody.
Amen. And we have refreshment. If you don't have, if it's got too late for you, then take something home with you. We have refreshment back there. And let me just say a prayer.